Happy Sabbath, everyone. Would like to thank the players of instruments for having added that special flavor to our worship today. The blower and the player. I'd like to welcome everyone who worships here. Wish for everyone God's richest blessings. And today, as we focus on the Word of God, as we focus on prayer, it's my hope that none will leave from here disappointed. And above all else, your own experience of being with God will be enhanced. Let us pray. Lord, thank you for this holy Sabbath. Speak through me now. May these words be a blessing to myself, to all the listeners. May the name of God be magnified and be blessed. This we pray through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. I've captioned the message for today, the No Charge Wireless. The No Charge Wireless. I will endeavor to quickly share some bit of information. We make some applications and then we go. There is an old saying that talk is cheap. You ever heard of that? I agree that talk indeed can be cheap. But I invite you to think, analyze with me for a few moments. Talk may be cheap, but the talking industry is certainly not cheap. I wonder how many of you observed on television a couple of days ago, whereby a company involved in the talking industry, my coinage, talking industry, they contributed $100 million to a charity. That was a much needed charity. And $100 million by any stretch of the imagination is a lot of money, even in Jamaican dollar terms. But yet still, the talking industry generated $100 million that can be given away to a charity. Commendable. And I wonder how many of you sat in your beds and hoping that your number would have been called, because you would have been instant millionaires. You did? Okay, fine, you're honest. And no doubt, many did. In my household, there's a little one who get at all the cell phone. I said, I wonder if our number will be called. But to generate $100 million for one charity, $11 million to other individuals, a lot of funds, revenue. Notice I said revenue and not profit. A lot of revenue. And it's commendable that individuals can be so kind in this era to be giving away all of this. Lots of people are talking and they are communicating by wireless devices. In fact, I'm talking to you today by use of this wireless phone, this wireless mic. You can hear me, right? Good. You are listening. A brief summary of the penetration of mobile phone usage worldwide over the last 10 years gives an idea of the volume of talking that is taking place, and it's not cheap. According to Nokia, you know Nokia, right? Yes, man, the great cell phone provider. According to Nokia, 100 million text messages were being sent daily from 10 million phones in 2002. That's in 2002. Since that time, the number of phones have expanded by geometric progression. And I will just share with you some brief statistics. I will not bore you with too much. Give you an idea of how this mobile phone, this wireless industry has taken on. There's a list of 222 countries. And I got this information from CIA World Factbook 2009. From a list of 222 countries, I just pick a few at random. China. At the end of 2007, there were 547,286,000 mobile phones. In the European Union, at the end of 2008, 486 million of these little wireless devices. In India, at the end of 2009, 363 million of these wireless devices. In the great USA, at the end of 2007, 255 million. Go to Pakistan, not as big as USA, 88 million at the end of 2008. Switch to Nigeria. At the end of 2007, 41 million. I'm talking about these little things that you have, that you walk around with. These are the things, you know. But people are just talking. They do not have them for decoration. Okay, and you might say, okay, these are bigger. Let's go to a little one up the road, Cuba. At the end of 2007, even in Cuba, they had 190,300 of these wireless devices, mobile wireless devices. I pick on Trinidad. Yes, Ansel, I'll not forget your country. And in 2004, there were 600,000. By 2007, there was 1,008,000. And you must be wondering if I'm not talking about Jamaica. How could I forget that? In Jamaica, out of this list of 222, Jamaica ranked 103. And at the end of 2006, there were 2,495,000 cell phones. Don't say anything yet. Listen to this. According to data that has just been released from the Jamaica's Office of Utilities Regulation, I made it and checked this. At the end of March 2010, Jamaica, with a population of 2.7 million, and this will be verified soon by the census, Jamaica had 3 million cell phones. And you know what is the headline? Jamaica's mobile penetration stands at 110%. In other words, there are more cell phones in Jamaica more than the number of people living here. It means that even a little youngster just born who's on the breast would have been accounted for. And I'm sure if I was to ask, how many of you have two cell phones in the pocket now? And many people would say that. Right? I see a number of people nodding. Guess what? We are talking. And the talking is not cheap. When you look at the revenue side, which is generated from this mobile wireless talking, then you get to know what I'm talking about. When I check the rates... For the lowest, I'm not talking about the COG because that's a different kettle of fish. From postpaid, $4.80 per minute. And you can go to the prepaid and you cut across carriers, $17.50 per minute. So when some of us who talk so much, you talk an average of 4 hours per day on the cell phone, the wireless device, and you work that out. And some of you are not even conscious enough to recognize that if you go from the bigger, better to the sour one, then you're crossing network and it's a different rate at $17.50 per minute. You work that out. 4 hours times 60 minutes, that's 4 times 60, 240 minutes, and you work that at $17.50, see how much you're talking per day. By any stretch of the imagination, we have been utilizing wireless communication and technology in a very big way. And as I said earlier, you're talking, my talking, I'm guilty too. My talking, it's not cheap. Briefly looking at this wireless phenomenon, I should interject here before going back to the charges involved, that the wireless technology that we talk about operates on radio waves. And I will not be getting too technical, don't worry. And today, we see that radio waves control everything from wireless networks to your gate opener. That some of you in this security conscious age, you have these gate openers on your gates. These radio waves, they are invisible, and they are completely undetectable to humans. But they have totally changed society. Whether you're talking about your cell phone, your baby monitor, you know, these are the things that you put in the crib, that, you know, right? The mother stay downstairs, they are in the washroom, and you have musical devices in the baby crib. And every sound that the baby makes is transmitted to the mother who might be downstairs or in the washroom. Yes, all of that is happening. Or maybe it's a cordless phone or any one of the other 1,000 wireless technologies. All of them use radio waves to communicate. And here are just a few of the everyday things that depends on it. Your normal AM/FM radio, your cordless phone, down to the radio-controlled toys that you buy for your children or your children use. Satellite communication, the police networks, even the microwave that you have in your kitchen or in your dining room. It depends on radio waves. And may I also add that the current trend toward wireless internet access uses radio as well. That means our lives have been changed. And we have been fashioned, and we have now come to completely depend on radio waves and wireless technology for our existence. Now let's go back to the costing. There's a big billboard that I've noticed recently put at the corner of Shortwood and Constant Spring Road. I don't know if many have seen it. And it says, the original wireless connection is $0.00 per minute. And when I read it, I was so impressed with that billboard. But you know what? You and I can give God thanks that we can talk to Him for free. You and I can talk to Him, and we do not depend on radio waves. You and I can be in any part of the world, in any part of your room, in any part of your existence, and you can talk to the big man upstairs for free. There's the good old song, the chorus that we you sing, and probably they still sing, Jesus on the main line, what? Tell him what you want. If you're sick and you can't get well, what? Tell him what you want. And then the part that I always used to love, and I still love it, the part which says, call, collect what? He'll accept. Just tell him what you want. Many times individuals come to you and they say, beg your call, no, I don't have any credit. You know them? Or some folks want to talk to you and they said, ah, please call me. Don't try it with me. Or they said, ah, please call me. You know, or they said, ah, please call me. Why? Because what? They do not have any credit. When you communicate with God, my brothers and sisters, you don't worry about money. It's for free. It's for free. And that's why more of us need to get back to that place where we can talk to God, knowing that He will hear, He will answer, and I do not worry about whether or not I have credit. If as Jamaicans, we are using wireless or mobile or cell phones to the extent that I have quoted you earlier, can you imagine if we were talking to God even half of that time, this little country of ours would be on the road to progress. As the adage says, little prayer, little power. Much prayer, much power. I want you to go back to our scripture reading. Romans 12, verse 12. That was read so well by Alikoa. Romans 12 and verse 12. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing hope, instant in prayer. Only by constant communion with God can the Christian maintain strength and courage to endure the troubles through which we will pass. Have you ever prayed and gone an answer to prayer? Have you? Take 30 seconds. Tell somebody beside you. I don't want to hear. Tell somebody beside you what prayer God answered for you. Take 30 seconds and do that. Tell somebody. Encourage somebody. Encourage somebody today. What was the prayer that God answered for you? Alright, you have. 2 Wednesday nights ago, we came to church, and, you know, at prayer meeting. And by the way, may I put in a word here for prayer meeting? Church look good now. Come prayer meeting, please. Come prayer meeting. Church is not just about Sabbath experience. Come prayer meeting, and you will be blessed. Few Wednesday nights ago, at prayer meeting, you know, during the testimony period, you know, sharing. I heard a testimony from a sister. I was so impressed that I asked her to come and share it today. Sister Maureen, come and use this wireless device and share that testimony of answered prayers. It's real. When we talk about prayer, we're not talking about something that we do not. Come, Sister Maureen. Make sure you use the wireless one and tell the brethren how God answered your prayers.
Well, I'm happy to share with you. Good afternoon. Okay, before I share it with you, just let me share this little quote in from Testimonies for the Churches, Volume 1. It says, as the praying ones continued their earnest cries, a ray of light from Jesus would at times come to them to encourage their hearts and light up their countenances. And that is exactly what God is doing. No, I was sharing on that Wednesday night. There was a time when I didn't have any job. And that day I was so broke. And then I was saying, Lord, what am I going to do? And I heard a voice say, see Aki there? No, we had Aki tree in the yard that I was living in. So I picked the Akis and I went to Portmore and I sold the Akis. I got some more orders, so I came back home and I looked at the ackee tree, but all the ackees were closed. So I said, Lord, how are we going to fill the orders? And I look up in the tree. You ever see ackee whopping it? Shaman, I see ackee start whooping up. You know, ackee just start whooping up. And that day I sold 30 dozen ackees.
Thank you very much, Stowell. When she told me, I was touched. No money. Aki's closed. She prayed to God. And the closed Aki started to open before her eyes. Isn't that wonderful? Let me tell you. I mean, Sister Hanson, I won't bother calling on you today. But if Sister Hanson wants to come here and start to tell you how God answered her prayers, tell us how God. I mean, there are so many people. We have been in difficulty, they have been sick. They have had health challenges. They have had family difficulties. and all of this, and people got down on their knees and prayed, and God heard and answered their prayers. As the sister Gody raising her hand, because she can testify the fact that God will hear and answer your prayer. Turn to the other verse of our scripture, 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant. No, sorry. No, man, that's Romans. Go to the 1 Thessalonians. Okay? Rejoice evermore. Just hold that. Hold it right there. Whether from possession of present good or anticipation of future happiness, the Christian has abundant reasons to rejoice. Let me tell you. You know one thing that discourages me more than anything else? Individuals who walk around want a pity party. You must have heard me say it many times. All you can say, you know, as I said to some folks at home, I remember as a youngster going to university, the 70s, early 80s, it was fashionable. Oh, life, man, why we a struggle. Those are old enough. You remember that time when to be a struggler was something good, right, Ansel? Yeah, man, we are contemporaries, so we know what we're talking about. One thing, it was fashionable. And nowadays, you know, everybody saying, you ask them, they start to complain. Before they even ask you, how are you? Why times hard, you see, may I suffer? May I struggle? Let me tell you this. As a Christian, as a child of God, stop talking about struggling and suffering and give God thanks for his many blessings. The Christian has abundant reasons for rejoicing. You know why? One good reason? Our sins have been forgiven. Our consciences are free and peace fills our heart. Why then should you be downcast? Why should you be so stressed that you are contemplating suicide? Some people might say, yeah, you're talking, you know, and I know about all the chemical imbalances and all that. Yes, I know all of that, but even that, God can take care of that too. Regardless of your hereditary situation, your mother mad, your father went to Bellevue, your auntie went to ward 21, and somebody cannot do it. God can break that cycle. So don't tell me about the past. Tell me what God can do and will do for you in the future. In the Ministry of Healing, page 251, the servant of the Lord says, those who are constantly complaining do not have a genuine religion. So the next time a complainer comes to you, tell them that I'm praying for you. And the next time the person comes to you complaining or coming to discuss, let them know that in as much as the past may be bad, the future is bright. Verse 17 says, pray without ceasing. There should be a constant spirit of prayer breathing through the Christian's life. Never must the connection with heaven be broken. Paul, who wrote those words, he labored night and day. He also prayed night and day. His many activities did not crowd out his prayers. Active connection with his heavenly Father was always maintained. Every week I tell you, I'm reading another book. I'm reading a book now, Why Teenagers Leave the Church. And I should really thank Sister Jump for introducing that one to me. It's basically a compilation, it's a 10-year study done by tracing the life of some youngsters from age 16 around about 26. And you know, one of the things that coming up as I read through the book, why many people leave the church, they never have a connection with the Lord. When you start to analyze that closer, family worship was missing. A lot of youngsters were in the church, but they were not praying. A lot of youngsters who grew up in the church, they did not have any devotional life. I'm saying to you, young and old, now is the time for us to maintain that connection with the Lord. And that connection, I know you're busy. I know that life is hard. I know that you have to struggle, you have to go to school, and you have two jobs, and you're studying and doing 2 degrees one time, and all the rest of that. I know, but let me tell you this, slow down. I talk to myself. Slow down. Spend some time with God. get that wireless connection right and you will find that you don't have to struggle so hard. Some of you lose and you have lost a lot in alternate schemes and all of that. And I hear one on the radio recently bombarding a certain organization. I know all of that. But let me tell you this. Working hard and neglecting your prayer life will not give you the success that you need. Sooner or later, you become a nervous wreck. You either lose your mind, you lose your sanity, and one of these fine Sunday mornings, before long, we put you right across here, and then we carry your remains out to St. Catherine. And you'd have lost out in this life, and you have lost out in the life to come. Slow down. Spend some time with God, and get the wireless connection right. And as you do that, you'll be a happier person. A praying person is a happier person. You know what gives me sometimes, you know what gives me so much encouragement when I come to church and you have some senior ladies especially. They come and they hug me and say, Brother Murray, I prayed for you this week. Brother Murray, you are on my mind. You're on my mind. I praying for you. I got a call this week, you know, some struggles. You know, and my younger sister called me, it could have been Thursday morning. And she says, Bro, you have been on my mind and I'm praying for you. You never understand what that meant to me. And so many of you in church who call me, or you send those little nice text messages. Granted, some of them is not even your thoughts, but nonetheless, you remember me and you send them. It's encouraging. Let us get back to where we know we ought to be. There's power and fire, my brothers and sisters. Paul, he said, pray without ceasing. He maintained that connection with his heavenly Father. So it should be with us. Jesus, who was, you know who Jesus was, right? You know Jesus. You know the kind of authority that he came to this earth with. You know about his antecedents, right? And you know Jesus. You know that when Jesus was here, he spent much time in prayer. If Jesus needed, is the right word? Yes, in his human form. If Jesus needed to spend so much time in prayer, what about you? What about me? Do you believe that you can go and fight the old Satan who has so many years of experience? You can go and fight him bareback, empty-handed? Arm yourself with the power of God and you pray. Turn with me to Mark chapter 3, verse 30. Last two verses. Mark 3, verse 30. And he, referring to Jesus, growing up into a mountain and called it unto him whom he would, and they came unto him. Okay, I want you to read Luke 6, verse 12, and then I comment on the both. Luke 6, verse 12. And it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to what? And he continued how long? And he continued how long? All night. There are some folks I know in church right here. If the prayer going beyond 2 minutes, what am I going to pray so long for? You come to prayer meeting. Jaron, you come to prayer meeting. He's, you know, my young elder is always taking me to task on this. And they spend 45 minutes in the word and 5 minutes in prayer. Even ourselves as leaders, we ought to bring about reformation in our prayer lives. But Jesus, it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray. And he continued all night in prayer to God. If Jesus recognized that he needed this strength and this power from prayer, what about you? What about me? I should tell you this. Jesus, back to Mark chapter 3, verse 30. I'll quickly tell you what was happening there. Jesus left his followers to spend the night at the foot of the mountain while he himself spent the entire night in prayer at some secluded spot in the hills above them. Often, Jesus spent the entire night in prayer, and usually, such instances mentioned by the various gospel writers preceded points of decision or crisis in his life or his ministry. He sought meditation and prayer at the beginning of his ministry. Prayer likewise marked the opening of his Galilean ministry and immediately preceded his first missionary tour through the towns and villages of Galilee. In Mark 3, there, this night that Jesus spent in prayer, it was just before he ordained the 12 disciples. Quick move on to verse 14 and you will see there, he ordained the 12. Jesus did not take the ordination matter lightly. He spent the whole night in prayer before he came to this all-important matter. And right through the life and ministry of Jesus, we see him in active prayer, maintaining that connection in heaven. Before any of these critical moments in his life, he consulted his Father. You and I, we have many decisions to make. We face many crises in our personal lives. We face crises in our families. We face crises in the church. And so the cry is for revival and reformation. When our leaders at the higher organization invited the church to a time of revival and reformation, one of the main points which they highlighted was that the church need to be brought back to a place where there is active prayer experience and the study of the Word of God. There are many individuals, members, leaders of our church have said that spirituality has waned. Not that it is waning, but spirituality has waned. Many a youngster who have grown up in the church, probably born in the Adventist family, they went astray because the connection was not made. You yourself, you would have probably known someone who walked away from the Lord. You yourself may have been experiencing this spiritual drought. Today, I would like to assure you, based on the authority of God's words, it's time to remake that connection with the Lord, and the wireless connection is no charge. It's no charge. Today, I'd like to ask you, would you like to see someone in the kingdom of God with you? Is there someone you know you'd like to see in the kingdom? Amen. You know, you have a crisis that you're about to face, a difficult decision. I see the hands. May I ask you to spend some time with God in prayer? I am always mindful that there are the cynics who would tell you, you believe in this God thing, you still believe in this God thing. I saw a friend who I have not seen since Wilma's days, after 30 odd years, and he said to me, "Maury, you still got this church business?" They had invited me to a reunion of the set of us who graduated a particular year. Old boys, yes, thank you very much, old boys. I just love when I'm here. You know, individuals can just work along with you. She said old boys. And there were some old boys, and they were coming from overseas, and they were planning a reunion at Gloria's in Port Royal, and they were planning for Friday night. And I said, you know, that's Sabbath. Let me do. I said, "Maury, after all of these years, you're still involved in them things." So I know that there are always the cynics among us who say, "You still believe in that?" Let me tell you something. I would like a witness here today. How many of you still believe in the good old thing called prayer? Wave those hands. Let Satan know it. So any cynical one in here, you cynic inside here, who believe that prayers don't work, get flee from here, because we believe in prayer. And so, just in case there's someone here today, and you know that you have an important decision to make. It might be a family decision. It may be a decision about prayer, about partner. You're planning to get married and you do not know if it's the right man whispering in your ears or the right woman. Yeah! This is, you need to pray about that. You know what the servant of the Lord says? If you used to pray 2 times per day and you're contemplating marriage, you must pray 6. That's how deep and serious this matter called marriage is about. So in case you're contemplating marriage, pray. It might be a job. Your boss might be getting on top of you. nerves. And you want him to be removed out of your life. Pray. It might be that you know that you are living a life that is not right, but you want to get victory. Pray. Some of you may have grown up along the pathway and you know that this is the way you should go, but you have deviated. Pray to God and he will hear. We are going to be praying for our pastors. Well, the conference has asked us to pray for our pastors. They are the shepherds of the flock, but they are being challenged too. They are human beings too, you know. They have their heavy loads, they have their crosses too. Let's going to pray for them as they pray for us. And as I close, I just like to let you know that the Spirit of God is here. There's a sweet, sweet spirit in this place. And I know it is the Spirit of the Lord. I would like every one of you, as you go from this service today, just remember, we are a talking people. We talk. The statistics are out there. But may I ask you to take some of that time that you would normally talk to your friend, but to talk to God. He will give you the victory. And I'm going to leave a special burden on your heart today. If during the course of the week, somebody, your members, your family members, come across your mind, say a prayer for them. Say a prayer. Take up that same cell phone and talk to somebody. Let them know. Life is tough. Life might be very hard for you, but there's a beautiful end that is coming. It will work wonders. And as we reconnect with our wireless connection with heaven, let us go back to the cross where burdens are lifted. You know the good old song? Burdens are lifted at Calvary. We're going to be closing the service with a chorus. He is here. Hallelujah. We're going to ask you to those joining. The words will be on the screen. We're going to ask you, be identified with this special moment. It's that moment when heaven is coming closer to earth. Not my words, servant of the Lord. Not my words. It's in this special moment of prayer. Heaven is coming closer to earth. Not earth getting closer to heaven. Heaven is coming closer to earth. And in this moment of prayer, be identified with the fact that God's Holy Spirit is here and he will break the shackle. Whatever it is you're experiencing, release it to God, claim his victory, and you shall be well. Let us all stand. He is here.